Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want to read you a very awakening, wake-up scripture. That's always been, it's like a cold shower of reality about God's desire for you and I as it relates to seeing what God sees. Seeing what God sees. See, wisdom in the Word of God helps you to see and hear and understand what you need to see, hear, and understand. The Word of God helps you to understand what life is really about instead of just seeing things as they appear to be. It's the difference between true and false. You know, there's nothing worse than leaning up your ladder on the wrong place to climb. So many people are climbing their life and their ladder is leaning against the wrong things. And you get to the top of the ladder, you get to the end of your life and you realize, I have been climbing a ladder and now I've ended up nowhere. That's not good. And so God helps us through His Word to care and to see the things that He wants us to see. Matthew chapter 25 is a scripture that from time to time, probably every 2 or 3 months, I will read and just spend some time chewing on, just let it kind of marinate in my heart because it helps me to think about the things that God thinks are important. You know, it's hard to have a relationship with someone, an intimate relationship, a close relationship, if you do not know what's important to them. That's how you develop a relationship. Some of you that are still kind of navigating dating, you're still trying to figure out maybe to find that. Can I tell you, one of the ways that there's that intimacy and that closeness in a relationship is you start caring and the person that you feel like is in your life, or if you're newly married or been married 20 years, a relationship grows by making sure that what is important to the other person is important to you. It's no fun being in a relationship with someone conceited. Oh, talk to me now. Don't act like you ain't never seen nobody conceited. Y'all have never been around anybody. I know you're watching online. You've never been around anyone who all they do is talk about themselves? That their story is better than yours? That what they went through is better than yours? That their life is so much grander than your little puny life? You know, I had a great day. I had a greater day. You know, yesterday, you know, I worked out. I did a triathlon. Whoa, wow. And like, you just get drowned out by their large stuff. But to have a relationship, then you begin to mind the things that are mindful to another person. That's how it works. So if you and I are going to have an intimate relationship with God, if our relationship, if we're going to be a better Christian this year than we were last year, if we're going to be closer to Christ, if you say, I just want to be a heathen, go on, my brother, be a heathen, bust hell wide open, God bless you. But I'm going to try to get closer to Jesus. Okay, and if I'm going to get closer to Jesus, then guess what? I've got to know what He's thinking about. I have to care about what He cares about. Matthew 25 is like a huge alarm going off into a world of slumber. Let me read it to you. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes, talks about Jesus returning, in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people. He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. This is the reality of what's going to happen. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I love that phrase, look after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer. The Lord said, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did for me. What you do for the least, you do for me. What you did for the least, you did for me. What you do for the least, you do for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is a church that believes in heaven and hell. I remember when I had just become a Christian. And I remember going out one night with some of my friends that were just crazy, like I was attempting not to be. And I can remember one night, some guy got up in my face and was like, oh, you're going to drink, you're going to do all this. Just got up all of my grill because I wanted to live for God. And I just didn't want to do all that anymore. He was like, and we were sitting in the back of a truck. I don't know what we were doing sitting in the back of the truck. You do the strangest things at 3 a.m. For real? For real. Don't act like me. Some of you look at me, I've never been out 3 a.m. You lie. And I remember he was giving me a hard time, and I was just a baby. Wee, wee, Christian. And he was, I finally looked at him and said, my man, I ain't going to hell over you. I ain't going to hell over you. There comes a time in life where you have to decide, what do you want? What do you see? What do you want to give your life to? For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, needing clothes, sick or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. What you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. What you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. What you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. What you did for the least, you did for me. What you did for the least, you did for me. What you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. What you did for the least, you did do for me. What you did not do for the least, you did not do for me. That is what the Bible says. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is teaching us his heart. He wants us to think about the things he thinks about. He wants us to walk in his will. He wants you and I, every single person, no matter what age you are not exempt because you are 16 years old. You are not exempt because you are 66 years old. He wants you and I. He wants us to walk in his will. He wants us to live out the purposes that he created us to be. He wants us to embrace the uniqueness of how he has wired us so that we can be people and sons and daughters and parents that are recipients of him breathing on us. And when he breathes on us, then we are awakened to the things that God is awakened to. Whatever the Lord is thinking about, guess what? He wants us to think about. Whatever God cares about, he's wired us to care about those things. Whatever the Lord is awake to, whatever the Lord is alerted to, he wants you and I to be alerted to those things. Now, we live in a world that wants us to fall asleep and to not be awake to the things of God, but be awake to the things of the craziness of this world, sin, all that stuff. God's desire is that we would be awakened to the things that he talks about and the things that he's writing about right here. I think about us as a church trying to be awake to the things that God cares about. You know, I love the idea of us giving a miracle offering in the month of December where we just gave over and above, just right out of our own heart, right out of our own increase, just to make a difference in missions and help take care of some of the debt and servicing some of the debt of all of us as a church and everything that we're doing as a church to be able to build bigger barns to reach more people. And I just want to thank you. I want to say thank you from Dylan and I that as of caring about some things that God cares about, where you gave over $723,000 in the miracle offering. Why? For the cause of others. To be a healing place for hurting. That was just several weeks ago throughout the month of December. I want to thank you for that. You came together to be able to serve the least, bless efforts in the mission field. Not only did you do that, but all throughout year 2011, you gave your tithe. You were part of Kingdom Builders. You gave out of your increase last year. Our tithe increased. Our offerings increased. So that we could do more. We gave more, we were more generous and we could do more for the gospel. We could reach more people. We could care about others through the miracle offering, through the tithe, through Kingdom Builders. You were faithful in that area. And I started thinking about all the giving and the things that we were a part of. And Lord, what is it you're saying to us as it relates to being a people that care about the things you care about? And I thought about this. What is it worth to see or to have your eyes wide open to what God wants us to be? What is it worth to see an orphan in Haiti smile? What would it be worth to you? What is it worth to see people in Mozambique drink pure water for the first time? Maybe a husband in Honduras bring his wife to a place where she can deliver a healthy baby and have his daughter there that can have a surgery in a healthy OR right in the middle of a jungle. What is it worth to be able to preach the gospel there in Sri Lanka to see people accept Christ or hear about Jesus for the first time? What is it worth? What is it worth to have our eyes wide open to the special needs families in our community or foster care families or the homeless and to make them feel accepted and loved and cared, to be able to give them hope? What is it worth to be able to see someone's sister or daughter rescued from human trafficking, to maybe build homes in Joplin after tornadoes? Or what would it be worth to you to help a family be reestablished in Japan, or be able to give a bike to a tyke or a ham to a family? What would it be worth to be able to see this, to see it clearly, reaching people through relationship with missionaries that carry hope and partner? We like Joyce Myers or Mission of Mercy or A21 or Cyrus Ministries that care about the least and the lonely. What would it be worth for you and I to see or to assure that that would really happen? I can tell you this. We did get to see it happen. We got to see it happen all throughout 2011. Boy, life's being changed, people being cared for, the gospel going forward. Because of your faithfulness in the tithe, not only do we give a miracle offering, not only were you faithful in the tithe, do you know what? Out of all that giving as a church, we gave a lot of that away. Matter of fact, out of all of our giving last year, guess what? We gave over $1.3 million to missions and to outreach. Can I have a good amen? 19 years ago, our first year as a church, we gave $1,400 away. And guess what? $1,400 those first year, it's the same as $1.3 million. It's all a sacrifice. Why? To be a healing place for a hurting world. To let it begin right here. To care about people. I want to say thank you. Thank you for caring about people. Thanks for wanting the gospel to go forward. Now, what I want to do is, guess what? I want to do it again. Can I have an amen? Amen. I want to do it again in 2012, and I believe we can. I believe we will get to see it. We will see it clearly. Can I encourage you in 2012? Somebody asked me today, said, what's our vision this year? Our vision is to continue to be a healing place for a hurting world, starting in Baton Rouge. So I want to encourage you that in 2012, continue to be faithful in your tithe. I promise that as you're faithful in your tithe, your tithes, then I'm promising you that we're going to take that and we're going to plant that in soil that will reap a good harvest for Jesus Christ. Be faithful with your prayer and your love for the lost, doing those unique things of being involved, caring about others. Be faithful as it relates to seeing the need and meeting the need. Be faithful in Kingdom Builders, where we give over and above. That will start in January 29th, where we give out of our increase. We make commitments weekly or monthly. Be faithful as it relates to missions. On February the 5th, I'm so excited. We're going to have a mission opportunity where you're going to hear about all the incredible places that we can be a part of serving and caring for people. All the passion points around the globe that you can pray for, you can give to, you can go to. And you know, we're calling it a Barefoot Sunday. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great day to be able to understand the heart for the world. Let's make 2012 our strongest stewardship year for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it can be if you and I are awake to the things that God cares about. God cares about you and God cares about others. Do you know what? That after God reaches you, he reaches you to reach another person. We never let the door shut behind us once we come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know what we become door holders for another person. That's the promise and the purpose of life. If you've had a hard time finding purpose and fulfillment, my question would be, are you holding the door for another person, or have you closed the door? And is it all about me, myself, and I? God, wake us up in 2012 to what you're looking at. You know, I wake up three different ways. Three different ways I wake up. Sometimes I'll wake up early and I don't want to get up, but just due to my age and other situations, I just wake up more at night. And so sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll check. I always like, you know, I'll check the house out, or I've got to tend to other business. And but a lot of times if I wake up and I don't want to get up, then I'll wake up and try not to open my eyes because I want to go back to sleep. And I just open it the less I can open it, because I don't want a lot of light in. And matter of fact, sometimes I'll keep my eyes shut and just feel my way around because I don't want to wake up yet. I want to stay in the dark. I want to stay in that sleep mode, even though I need to handle some stuff. So that's one of the ways I wake up. That's one way. The other way I wake up is sometimes I wake up and I don't want to get up, but I got to get up. And I wake up and I'm tired, and I'll try to get up, and I've got blurred eyes, and I'm just, what's up? Sometimes it takes me a while. I want to keep all the lights out for a little bit. Don't cut the lights on. You know, I just want to, and what happens is my eyes are adjusted to the dark, so I like that. I don't want the light, but if I don't get in the light, guess what? I just have double vision. I can't see clearly walking around. Just, you ever see something in the morning? It's kind of like, matter of fact, they even get to school or they get to the classroom and they still got like boogers all up in their eyes and, you know, all crazy looking eyes. You're like, dude, bro, you need to wash your face, brush your teeth. You know, it's just that early morning. Some people just have morning eyes. They just, zombie. So I wake up that way. Either I wake up with I keep my eyes shut and try to tend to it so I can get back in bed. Or I wake up, but then every once in a while, mostly I wake up like this now because I'm getting older. Usually I wake up wide awake now. As I've gotten older, I wake up more wide awake. Like this morning, I just, you know, sometimes at my age, I can set the alarm and it helps me. Sometimes I don't even need an alarm anymore. I just have a body clock that about 5:50, 6 o'clock, I just wake up. This morning, I woke up wide awake. What's up? Yeah. I mean, I woke up like that. I mean, I woke up and in 3 seconds, I'm standing up. Yeah, baby. You want some? Now, I won't talk about Delenn's process of waking up. That's another series that I'll let her preach on. Just wake up. I think that's what happens in life. As I read Matthew chapter 25, seeing the things that God wants us to see, caring about the things that God wants us to care about, having his heart, being awake to the things, I think that's what happens to all of us. Some of us, we are living with our eyes shut. We don't want to see it. Pastor, I don't want to know about people suffering because I'm enjoying my dream. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't want to know about giving. I don't want to know about sacrifice. I don't want to know about tithing. I don't want to know about the Dream Center. I don't want to know about people that are starving. I don't want to know about people that don't have health care. I don't want to know about people that are running out of food stamps. I just don't really want to know about all that because I'm sleeping so beautiful. And my life is beautiful. Leave me alone. I don't want to know about my sin. I don't want to know about my compromise. I don't want anybody telling me about my lust, my envy. I don't want to know about it. I want to keep my eyes shut. Guess what? Your eyes are shut, but the sun is coming. The sun is coming. The light is going to shine eventually. I don't want to know about it. I just want to live in my party life. I just want to do what I do. I want to keep my eyes shut. You can't keep them shut forever. Eventually, you got to open them up. And so often in life, we just want to keep our eyes shut to the pain we are causing another person, to breaking the heart of God, to not living out God's will in our life. We just want to shut up. If I don't see it, it's not happening. Not happening. It's there. It's still there. I think so often we're trying to live with our eyes shut because it just feels good. I want to go back to sleep. But then the other thing that happens is sometimes we're living with blurred vision. We can't see it. You know what happens when I have double vision? Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I have blurred vision and it makes me unstable. It's like, whoa, what's up? What's he doing? What's happening? And I get up and I can't hardly see. And I've got to hold on to a chair we have there. I go into the restroom, I'm holding on to the counter. I'm trying to find the doorknob because my eyes have not got adjusted yet. And they will not get adjusted if I stay in the dark. But if I'll get in the light, eventually my eyes will adjust. And I will no longer have double vision. Too often you and I have double vision. Living for God one day, living for the craziness the next day. Singing his praises one day. Oh, God is so good. I'll fly away, oh glory. The next days, we're going hell's bells. Come on, somebody. It just gets crazy. And we have double vision. What happens is when you have blurred double vision, guess what? You are unstable. You can't walk well. You can't move well. But then how God wants you and I to live is with our eyes wide open. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Lord, open up my eyes. Let me see what in the world is happening around me. Don't let me close my eyes to my marriage. Don't let me close my eyes to my children. Don't let me close my eyes to the things that I'm getting involved with. Help me to open up my eyes, eyes wide open that I may see. Don't you want to live a life where you see clearly about your family, your future, how much God loves you, the plan that God has for your life? You know, there's a song that we sing, and I have been singing this song since I came to Christ. It's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Candace, I want you to sing that for us.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful
time, Candace. You know, that song is 93 years old. It was written by a lady by the name of Helen Lamell. I love stories behind a song. Helen was born into a wealthy family, and at a young age she had a gift for music, and so she became a very accomplished pianist and a vocalist, and just was the hit of the family. Later on, she married into a wealthy family and toured and traveled and played the piano in every concert hall in England. But then something happened and a sickness came on her life and she became blind at about the age of 40. And not only did she lose her sight, but her husband left her. All her family had nothing to do with her. And she not only became blind, she became poor and destitute, lost everything, and just lived from pain to pain, struggle to struggle. They're left alone. She began to compose music, a blind composer, vocalist. She was part of a little small church there in her hometown. And one day she was sitting in church, depressed and thinking about her life and thinking about how her life was pretty much over now, that there was no hope for her. As the pastor was preaching, she felt like the Holy Spirit speak to her heart and say, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. And she realized then that even though she could not see with her natural sight, that she may have something better, and that was spiritual sight. And she lived for a long time. Right after that situation, she penned those words, wrote that song. She went on to write over 500 songs. She died at 98 years old. When they interviewed her, she said, my favorite song out of all the ones I wrote was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. She said, because when I lost my sight, I started thinking about who was the last person I saw. She was trying to remember what people looked like. And then when she wrote that song, she realized that the next face she would lay eyes on is the face of Jesus Christ. And that was good enough for her. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people who have eyes, but they do not see. Turn your eyes upon Jesus today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.